I'm excited to share with you from the book of Joshua chapter 9 today. Joshua chapter 9, our study today, we continue in our study of growing. Go reach our world. Our study today is integrity. The message today is entitled Integrity. Now, before we get started in reading the text, I want to ask you, how are the commitments that you've made so far this year? How's it going? If it's going good, say amen. Amen. If you could do better, say amen. Amen. Well, I would have to join you. Amen on the, it's going good for me and I can do better. Amen also. But let me encourage you. Stay with it. Have you been attending Sunday morning Bible study? Amen. Good. Good. Very important. Very important that you have that small group time where you're sitting down with other Christians and hearing from the Word of God and sharing in one another's lives. And so if you've not done that yet, got involved in the Sunday morning Bible study, next Sunday is the perfect time to begin. Okay? And it's for all ages, however young, however old, there's a place for you. So come and take that step of growth and being part of a small group Bible study on Sunday morning at 9:30. And don't miss that opportunity. It's a great opportunity to grow. This morning, we're going to grow in integrity. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? And as we read this, I just remind you, this is the Word of God. If you want to hear from God, this is where you hear what God has to say. Joshua chapter 9, verse 3. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily and pretended to be ambassadors. And they took the sacks, or they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended, old patched sandals on their feet, old garments on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And when they went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal, and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us." Then the men of Israel said to the Hivites, "Perhaps you dwell among us. So how can we make a covenant with you?" But they said to Joshua, We're your servants." Joshua said to them, "Who are you and where do you come from?" So they said to him, "From a very far country your servants have come, because of the name of the Lord your God. For we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. Therefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, 'Take provisions with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say to them, we are your servants. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. This bread of ours we took hot from our provision, or this bread of ours we took hot for our provision from our houses on the day we departed to come to you. But now, look, it's dry and moldy. And these wineskins which we filled were new. And see, they are torn. And these garments and our sandals have become old because of the very long journey.' Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them." Again, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you today to praise you and to thank you for your word. And now, Lord, we pray that you would take your word and through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, speak to us through your word, apply your word to our lives and convict us of sin. Give us a repentant spirit of our sin. And just teach us, Lord, that we may know you, that we may serve you, that we may bring honor and glory to you. We pray your will be done throughout this service today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Integrity. I once heard the definition of integrity as being, integrity is what you are when no one's looking. That's pretty good, but that's incomplete. You see, integrity is not only what you are when no one's looking. Integrity is what you are when everyone is looking. Integrity is very simply what you are. If we give it a definition, we would say it's when we act according to our values, beliefs, and principles. When we act according to our values, beliefs, and principles. Integrity is displayed or it's proven when we do what we say we believe. When we stand on the principles that we say we believe. And we take that stand in spite of our being challenged. And that's what's happening today. Israel's integrity is being challenged. And the reason their integrity is being challenged is because they made a bad decision. Do you ever do that? You ever make a bad decision? If you make a bad decision, say amen every now and then. I realize we don't do it often, right? But every once in a while, we'll forget who we are and we'll make that bad decision. And that's what happened to Israel. But you know, it kind of wasn't their fault because it started with a great deception. And you've got to admire the inhabitants of Gibeon for the way they thought. You see, the inhabitants of Gibeon knew Israel was coming. They knew Israel's command from God was to wipe out everyone in the land and to drive them out. So Gibeon knew they were fighting a losing battle. They knew it was a battle they couldn't win. And so in verse 4 in the text that we read, it said they worked craftily. Now that word craftily means, it literally means to be clever or to act in good sense. So what Gibeon did actually made perfect sense. Knowing they could not defeat Israel and Israel's God, they had to come up with another plan. So they did. They pretended to be ambassadors. And they took old sacks of moldy bread and old wineskins. They loaded down their donkeys with these old bread and old wineskins. Then they put on the oldest clothes that they could find. Clothes with holes in them. Then they got their sandals, the old pair of sandals that sits in the back of the closet that you hadn't seen in years. They got those out with holes in them. And they say, we're going to approach Israel and try to bring them into a covenant relationship with us. So they do. They've got everything old, they're loaded down with all their old clothes and old wineskins and all. And they approach the congregation of Israel. And their story was, hey, we're from a far country. This just sounds wrong, doesn't it? We're from a far country. Where are you from? Oh, from a land far, far away. You've never been there. You've never heard of it. We're just from a far country. And we've heard about the power, Joshua, of your great God. We've heard what He's capable of. And we just come to you today to offer ourselves as your servants and to ask you, will you please make a covenant with us? Sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, it's an ingenious plan. It's a great plan. You can't blame them for doing this. But you can tell immediately up front that there is a nagging suspicion. That this just does not quite feel right. As Joshua says, well, perhaps you dwell among us. And you know, we can't make a covenant with anyone who dwells among us because God has commanded us to take the land and to drive out all the inhabitants of the land. So the lie continues. I say, well, look. Look at our bread. This bread we took out of the oven hot and fresh on the day that we left home. Look at it. It's dry and moldy. Look at the wineskins. Brand new wineskins when we left on the day that we left our home. Now look, they're all torn and patched. Oh, and by the way, look at our clothes. Oh, they were new too when we left home. But look at all the holes and the wear. And it's all because of this long journey that we've been on. Israel's thinking, Do you ever get that feeling of something's just not right? You kind of get that idea as Joshua begins to question him here. This just doesn't feel quite right, and you can't put your finger on it. You know what? I've learned. The older I become, the more I listen to those feelings. When it just doesn't, you know, I can't really tell you why I don't want to go in this direction, but it just doesn't feel quite right. And I found that a lot of times that's the Lord's Spirit speaking to my spirit saying, you don't want to go there. And anyway, Joshua examines them and he examines their provisions. And the story seemed to be good. But he failed. It says he failed to call upon the name of the Lord. He failed to ask God. Now, I don't know why in the world at this point they would fail to ask God. Perhaps it just seemed like such a small matter. Too small for God. Perhaps it seems so clear. The story just checks out so very well. Perhaps he thought he could handle it himself. I don't know. The bottom line was, they didn't ask God. That's why we say it was an incomplete examination. You know, let me tell you something. There's nothing too small to ask God about. Did you know that? There's nothing too big to ask God about. If you're going to live it, you better talk to God about it, whatever the case is. But Joshua failed to do that. The elders of Israel failed to do that. And they made a covenant with the inhabitants of Gibeon. And then 3 days later, after the covenant was made, that's when it got ugly. 3 days later, as they were going across the land, they come across this place. Gibeon, the inhabitants of Gibeon. As a matter of fact, they had only gone about 20 miles from their base camp at Gilgal. And they meet up with these people and say, okay, we have a new conquest. And these people say, well, wait a minute. We have a covenant with you. And they're saying, do what? What? We have a covenant with you. Oh, no, that's impossible. Oh, yes, we do. You made a covenant to promise to let us live. And it's at that moment that they realized 3 days before, hey, we did make a covenant with these people. And it's that moment that, you know, that feeling that you get where your stomach, the pit of your stomach just seems like it goes down to your feet. And you think, oh no, what have I done? Oh no, what do I do now? And I said all that to bring you to 3 points. 3 things about integrity I would like to share with you today. Okay? Number one, integrity admits its mistakes. Integrity admits its mistakes. If you read verse 19, it says, the leader said, since we have sworn an oath, we cannot touch them. And you see, immediately they realize, oh no, we've messed this one up. But there's no covering it up. They do nothing to try to defend their position. They do nothing to try to cover up their position. There's no passing the blame. It's just a simple, oh man, we did it. So we can't attack these people. And you've got to admire that. You've got to set up and take note of that, because one of the most difficult things is to say, hey, I've messed up. I mean, It's tough to say I was wrong. I was wrong. You ever have that trouble? I was wrong. I may have made a mistake. It's so difficult, oftentimes, to say I was wrong. It's much more easy to avoid the subject. It's much more easy just to pretend like nothing happened and don't mention it and it'll go away. Act like, you know, it never happened. But it doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. It's easy to pass the blame. Yeah? It's her fault. It's their fault. You see, that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. The man, when God said, "What have you done?" And the man said, I've eaten of the forbidden fruit, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you know what the man said? He said, "God, that woman you gave me, she gave it to me. It was not my fault." I think that's a great way for us husbands to go. Just blame it on our wives, right? It's her fault. Then when God looked at God addressed Eve, and Eve said, "Oh no, it wasn't my fault. It was the serpent's fault. He deceived me and I ate of the fruit. It's his fault." Then the serpent, you know why he didn't blame anybody? There wasn't anybody left. I heard somebody say one time the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. He didn't have anywhere else to go. But I want to tell you something. With all the blame going on, it didn't change the fact Adam made a personal decision. A bad decision. Eve made a personal decision. A bad decision. And you know, today I want to approach you from the viewpoint of sometimes, you know, we're all find ourselves in that position where we didn't seek the counsel of God. We pursued things and we may have even had the best of intentions, but it's okay, even better and respect worthy to say, "Hey, I messed up." Fathers, it's okay for you to tell your children, "I'm sorry, I made a mistake." Instead of pretending like you're above mistakes. Moms, the same for you. Husbands, wives, it's okay to say, "Look, darling, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." For you see, integrity realizes that we're not yet perfect. So don't act like you are. Own up and take responsibility for what you do, those bad decisions that you make. And that's good advice for young and old. All right? You see, integrity admits, okay, I messed this one up. Not only does it admit its mistakes, integrity, as you begin to pursue integrity, is between you and God, not you and people. Now think about this for just a moment. Integrity is between you and God, not you and people. Did you notice? This just makes me mad as I read it. They lied. The Gibeonites, they lied. It's not fair. Most people would back up and say, "Well, you cannot hold me to this covenant because you lied to me." Most people wouldn't have thought twice about it. They'd just took them out. But you know what's interesting? Joshua and the elders of Israel said, "We can't." You know why they said, "We can't"? If you go back to the book of Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 12, it says when Moses was receiving the law, it says, "And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of the Lord your God. I am the Lord." You see, they had a command that once you take an oath in the name of the Lord, you better live up to that oath. And then in the text, or in chapter 9, we didn't read down this far, but I'll share it with you right now. But the children of Israel did not attack them because the rulers of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. The key is in the name of the Lord God of Israel. You see, how they respond to this position that they find themselves in is going to reflect on their great God. If they throw the covenant off to the side and break the covenant, they're going to reflect a covenant-breaking God. Integrity is not between you and other people. It's easy, as I said before, to blame other people. It's easy to use other people as a justification for your mistakes and for your sin. But you see, integrity is not between you and other people. It's between you and God. And as Christians, your conduct reflects your God. Okay? Does that make sense? Your conduct reflects your God. So, and you may not swear an oath or swear a covenant, you know, in the name of the Lord our God. But let's make this a little more personal. Do you realize before you lose your temper, you've got to ask, how will this reflect on my God? Before you get involved in a dishonest business dealing, you've got to ask, how is this going to reflect on my God? Before you fall into immorality, young, old, do you realize the teens are not the only ones that are dealing with immorality? Everyone in our society, there is a battle going on for the minds of our people. But you've got to remember, as this battle rages and as Satan dangles the temptation in front of you, the decision that you make and how you respond to the opportunity of immorality will reflect on your God, because people will look at you and say, he's supposed to be a Christian. He's a member of that church. He goes to that church. He pretends or he claims to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But if that's what Christianity is, I don't want any part of it. Have you ever heard people say that? I have. Do you know the greatest resource we have in winning lost people? It's Christians and their testimony. Do you know the greatest hindrance we have of winning lost people is Christians and their testimony? That's why this message today is so vital, so vitally important. Because it's so easy for us to come to church on Sunday, leave here, go out in the world and work Monday through Friday, or maybe you work Monday through Saturday, but to go out into the world and be just like the rest of the world. But understand, the integrity of who you are supposed to be not only reflects on you, it reflects on the God you claim to serve. That's why I say, don't use people as an excuse. I've so often heard people say, well, that's not fair. They did not treat me right. It does not matter. Who you are is based on your relationship with your God. Do not use the actions of other people as an excuse to sin and to lose your integrity. You've got to kind of admire Israel, even though they didn't pray about it. They didn't seek the counsel of God. And we all know that's wrong, right? But once they made their covenant, they said, we will stand by it, period. They didn't make excuses. They didn't blame the Gibeonites. They said, we will be true to our word. And the reason is because integrity was between them and God. It wasn't between them and the Gibeonites. Then we go on and finally, integrity stands in the face of opposition. You know, as we read this, in verse 20 it says, we must let them live. The children of Israel, they grumbled. What have y'all done? You've made a bad decision. You should have prayed about it. The decision that you have made is going to cost the children of Israel the spoils of the cities of the Gibeonites. It's going to cost them land that there will never be awarded to the children of Israel. But you know what? Even though the people were pointing fingers and complaining, Joshua and the leaders said, "That's fine. But we're going to stand by our word. We're going to be who we are, and we're going to honor our God." You see, that's integrity. That even though it may not be popular, even though it may be difficult, when you're willing to stand and say, "This is who I am, this is what I believe, and this is where I will take my stand." That, my friends, is integrity. When relationships with other people do not sway you, when the temptations of the world do not sway you, you know, as you... Some people, and I've even read some commentators that said Israel was wrong for standing by this covenant. But I want to tell you, they weren't wrong. They were standing by the Word of God. And if you go into 1 Samuel and you read over there, there was a time that Israel was plagued. And God told David the plague was because Saul had broken the covenant with these cities of the Gibeon. Yeah. Saul had broken that covenant and attacked those cities. And so Israel was plagued. Integrity takes its stand contrary to what anybody else thinks. Are you a child of God? Are you willing to say, "This is what I believe. This is what I will build my life on. And it does not matter what everybody else thinks." That's integrity. That, my friends, is integrity. Because the world is not that way. The world is a world of convenience. And if it's convenient to be honest, the world will be honest. But if it's inconvenient to be honest, they'll throw it out the window. Not you. Not the child of God. Opposition is no reason to back down. You look at the great stands of the Bible. I look at people like David and the story of David and Goliath. David was a man of integrity as he faced Goliath. You remember when Goliath would come out and challenge the armies of Israel, and the first time David heard that, he stands up and says, "I'll go fight that giant." And everybody said, "Oh no, you're a boy, go home. Go home." David said, "No, he defies the army of the God of Israel. I'm not going to go home. I'm going to take my stand." That's integrity. You look in the New Testament at the apostles, men like Peter, James, and John, as they preached the gospel, thrown into prison and beaten and commanded, "Do not teach anymore in the name of this Jesus that you're preaching in." And they take their stand and say, "Should we obey God or man?" We'll obey God. I love Joshua's message at the end of this chapter as he challenges the children of Israel. "Choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house," what? Say it with me. "We will serve the Lord." You see the integrity? I want to tell you what, integrity is not always popular. And it's seldom easy. But integrity is so needed in the world today. You see, there kind of scares me in the desire for the feel good in religion today. There are preachers whose goal is to make you feel good. And it's okay. You be what you are. You do what you want. God loves everyone and we all skip around and be happy together. I want to tell you what, if you want to feel good, lay your sins down at the cross of Calvary. And that feels good knowing you're forgiven. The rest of it's just a false emotion. It scares me that churches today are so seeker sensitive that they're laying aside vital doctrine. Vital principles that the church has been built upon. It scares me today that there are so many Christians whom claim Christianity, but yet you can't tell the difference between them and the world. I want to tell you something. We're supposed to be different. We are supposed to be a people of integrity. And it doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or if you're 90 years old. If you're a teenager, don't make the excuse, I'm young, I've got wild oats. No, that's hogwash. If you're a child of God, you should have integrity. You should stand on the values and principles of the Word of God. And not succumb to the pressures of this world. If you're an adult, been in church all your life, you know it's amazing to watch some of the adults who have been in church all their lives and live like the devil. Listen, there's no integrity there. My question is what you have real? For you see, the greatest example of integrity is Jesus Christ. You know that? Jesus came not to do His own will, but the will of the Father who sent Him. And even Peter, when Jesus was foretelling His death, and Peter said, "Oh no, Lord, far be it. We'll never allow that to happen to You." And remember what Jesus told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for you do not savor the things of God, but the things of this world." Jesus said, "I'm going to do what God sent me here to do." Now here's where it gets down. The rubber meets the road. Do you have the integrity to do what God placed you on this earth to do? Are you the child of God, even when it's hard? Are you the child of God that He's called you to be? If not, today may be a day of a new start for you. Maybe you've not been living in integrity. First thing you need to do is admit your mistake. Okay? Maybe you even need to apologize for your mistake. But don't pretend like it didn't happen, because you know it happened and everybody else knows it happened. Second thing you need to know is realize it's between you and God, not between you and everybody else. And you need to take it up with God and seek His forgiveness. And then finally, when you walk out of here, you walk out of here with a resolve that it does not matter who doesn't like it or who does like it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That, my friends, is integrity. Where are you today? We're going to have a verse of invitation. And I'll tell you, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, it starts with salvation. You got to have something to build on. Okay? If you're going to be a person of integrity, you've got to have something to build on. And you can't build your life on your opinions and the hopes and feelings of other people. The only foundation that'll build a life is the foundation of Jesus Christ. Are you a child of God? If not, this invitation's for you. If there's another need in your life, if you need to come for baptism, if you need to come for rededication, if you just need to spend time at this altar, I would invite you, as we have this invitation, you get things right with God. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You, Lord, for the reminder of the expectation of integrity that You have in Your children. Now, Lord, yes, there are times when we mess up and we make mistakes, Lord. Help us not to ignore our sin. Help us not to cover up our sin, but help us to faithfully confess our sin, admit our mistakes, our shortcomings. And help us, Lord, to remember that people do not affect who we are in You. And may our focus be our personal walk with You. And may we take our stand faithfully with You. Lord, we pray that You'd glorify Your name in this invitation, that Your will be done in Jesus' name.